Hello, I'm Nick Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. I want to thank you for tuning into our weekly broadcast today. You know, Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world. And through this weekly broadcast, Cross Church is able to share a time of praise and worship, as well as a time of studying God's Word with people from all walks of life. I want to thank you today again for tuning in, and please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our four regional campuses. Come be a part of our friendly, compassionate family known as Cross Church. So if you would, go to crosschurch.com to learn more about our church, and we hope that you'll join us very soon.
Hey, welcome to church. We're glad you're here. This service is going to be just a little bit different. As we begin today, we just want you to know that it's going to be a little bit different. Normally, we would sing some songs and have worship together, and then someone would come and open up God's Word and preach the gospel. Well, today is going to be just a little bit different kind of a day. We believe it's going to be a day that's really going to inspire you, a day that you will never forget, a day that's going to be one of the best Sundays of the year. We're calling this Sunday Better Together, because we really, really are better together. We've been planning this service for several months, and I can't wait to see what God is going to do in this service today. Today we're experiencing what we call a celebration. It's a time to rejoice in all that God has done and is doing in our church. We're going to see various videos and live presentations today from this platform that are going to talk to you about what God has been doing in our church. We're also going to talk about what God has been doing around the world, because we really are better together. It's really easy to come to this service, the second service at Pinnacle Hills, and to focus only by looking at what happens in this service. But Cross Church Ministry is so much larger than that. It's so much larger than that as we think about what God is doing in all four of our campuses locally, across Northwest Arkansas and across Southwest Missouri. It's also so much bigger as we think about what God does nationally through our ministry. As we think about the 12 churches that are meeting today, their new church starts, new church plants in urban centers around the country that are meeting because of your faithfulness. And then we can't neglect the fact that today thousands, I'm talking about thousands of missionaries around the world are doing ministry because of the faithfulness of what you have done together. This is a service of vision. It's a service of looking at what God has done in the past. And it's a service of vision looking forward to what God is going to do in the future. When you leave today, we want you to think about two things. The first one is, man, we have an amazing God who's done so much in our church among us. And then secondly, we want you to leave thanking God that you can be a part of a church like this that reaches Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ. So today, during the service, if you hear something that makes you happy, just be happy. If you want to clap, clap loud. If you want to say amen, do it really, really big. Rejoice at what God is doing in our church and thank Him for His faithfulness. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being in this church at this time, at this place in history. And God, we thank you that today we're going to hear how you're changing lives, both here and around the world. Lord, we bless you that you have taken all of our shame and you've put it on the cross. And then, Lord, you paid the penalty, and Lord, you have told us that we have new life because of the resurrection and soon coming of our Lord, the blessed hope for the believer. We rejoice today as we sing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our mission as a church is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ. It's the heart of everything we do, and it revolves around that simple statement. Our heart is to reach those who are far from God, to draw them in, and to lead them to faith in Jesus Christ. you're now going to see a few powerful stories of how God is using this church, how God is using you as the church to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ.
I'm an 80-year-old. I have had a journey that has come a long way, and it's come to fruition in just the last few months. I knew that even though I was a pretty good guy, I was a good husband, I was a good worker, I was in a work where I could help kids. I had a career of being good, but good is not what gets you to heaven. You have to be saved, and you have to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're on the borderline, don't wait 80 years. Go ahead and make that profession.
I'm from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I moved down here in 2013 when I got out of prison. I gave 16 years of my life in prison that I can't get back at all. I moved down here in 2013 when I got out, and I started going to Cross Church in Fayetteville. 2014 is when I got baptized and gave my life to Christ. And I thank everybody at Cross Church for believing in me and having faith in me, all the pastors and preachers. I've been working ever since I've been out of prison. I got a beautiful wife and kids. So what Cross Church has done for me, they have shown me that I can change, and I have changed. So if I know if I can change, anybody can change.
I accepted Christ at C3 as a college student in the Fayetteville campus. This was about the junior year of my college, and during the summer, I started to realize that I wanted community, and that was something that was really put on my heart. I met the young adults pastor here at Pinnacle Hills. He invited me to be a part of the group. A few months later, we went to the Dominican Republic. The last day was kind of our free day to go out to the beach, just hang out and enjoy the community. And we walked our way down to the Los Patos River, which was the shortest river in the world. Throughout the week, I was kind of being ministered by someone in the group about baptism. And in that moment, it just struck me of, this is the moment God has created for me to be baptized. And at first it was hard. It was like my shoulders were so heavy. And we just kept walking and walking, and I just said, Jeremy, I need to be baptized. And he's like, right here, right now? I said, yes. And from there, I was baptized. So currently, I'm attending Sunday mornings at the Springdale campus and leading an 8th grade small group. My whole life has changed now, from a lost college student to a young adult who's sold out to God. Jesus has changed me.
I first started coming to Cross Church after Chuck had came to one of my basketball practices. He told me about Wednesday night services and everything. And I started going to midweek every Wednesday. And then one year, I got a scholarship to Freedom Weekend. On February 3rd, I got saved. Leading up to that moment, I was talking to my Freedom Weekend leader, Tori. She gave me a lot of advice on, like, just what to look for in a relationship with Jesus and how to just open up to Him. Recently, I've been able to help lead worship on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, and I really never would have gotten the chance to have the relationship with God that I have today if it wasn't for Cross Church.
I always went to church when I was little. We went to church, not every week, maybe like once a month or so. I was there, but not really, you know, there. Not really paying attention or listening to what was being said. I just always wanted my life to go by how I wanted it to go. I always wanted it to be according to my plans. I just graduated from the University of Arkansas. All my friends had moved back to Texas or Missouri or wherever they were from. And for the first time in my life, I was kind of like alone. Like, I didn't have really any relationships anymore. Everyone kind of moved home, and I was from here, so I was already home. So I started going to the porch, and starting from that very first time I went to the porch, like, I already felt like I belonged somewhere. He said, before you close your Bibles, I want you to answer one question, and it was the fill in the blank question, where he said, in order to avoid potential or further ruin in the vineyard, which is my life, today I will. And we had to fill in the blank. Today I will do what? And that's when I just knew, like, okay, like, today, I have to do this today. I can't wait anymore. I have to I have to come forward today and be baptized. So, and then less than a week later, I was baptized.
I'm a student at UVA studying accounting finance. I came here two and a half years ago from Japan. 2 years ago, my friend reached out to me to share the gospel, to have the dinner together, and she also invited me to go to church. It was my first time to go to church and to face Christianity. She also asked me to read the Bible together, and she shared the gospel, she shared the testimony, and she also shared the Bible stories a lot. One day, I just realized that God loves me a lot. As Matthew chapter 16 verse 24 says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So I just needed to deny myself, and I also needed to deny my family as well, because they didn't want me to come to Christ, but I needed the love of God. I believe in him, I just love him, and I'm thankful that Cross Church is my family right now.
We recently moved to Northwest Arkansas 6 months ago. Unfortunately, I'm not able to attend on Sundays because I have to work, but she's able to, and our small group really has filled that void in our lives.
So since we started going to small group, we had been going for a few weeks at this point in time when Jeremy and Carly had invited us to dinner. So when we were at dinner, Jeremy was asking us about our faith walk. And Matt and I both were talking about how we had grown up in church, but we didn't really feel like we had that intimacy with God that was being talked about in the church so much. So Jeremy had asked us if we really had any moment where we had accepted Christ in our lives. And Matt and I both said no, but we were ready for that moment. So right in the middle of Nukes on Halloween evening, we prayed and we accepted Christ that night.
Jesus changes everything.
So we were living two different lives, one for the world and one for church on Sundays, until about 3 years ago when we finally committed our life fully to Christ and his way. And when I quit everything and put everything behind me and really started living for him, it's just, I can't even explain the path that he's put us on. God changed us and has been using us ever since to try to be an example to people that have struggled.
And we just know, I mean, we have a confidence knowing that God has a bigger plan for us than we have. I think when you find that peace and that fulfillment that God brings you with the Holy Spirit, you really want that for other people. And I think that was kind of when Eric and I were led to start our own group, because there was a need for it on the east side of Fayetteville. And really that's the way we want to live our life now. It's just kind of helping other people to have that same joy.
And to experience what we've experienced and watch God move in our lives to give us such a peace and just at ease with everything that's going on with what we're doing. And it's exciting.
We just recently moved here from Wisconsin. The first two Sundays in July were our first two Sundays here. The first Sunday, all we did was we attended a worship service. And then the second Sunday, we actually attended Rick Schaefer's Sunday School. Following Pendulum, less than a week later, we headed back up north. We had just arrived in the town, 11:30 on a Saturday night, our final load of stuff. I was driving my truck, Linda was driving the car. I was in the left turn lane on Weddington and got hit head-on collision. There was just the one driver in each vehicle. The other driver died at the scene. And I just about did. There was a number of occasions there where they pretty much wrote me off.
Within 20 minutes, people were at our side, and I was just amazed. They were uplifting us in prayer. Pastors, an entire Sunday school class, Bible study, even a business, were all praying for us and for Randy. It was just amazing. I felt so much support, and I'm sure Randy felt the peace too from the uplifting the prayers.
For people to drop what they were doing, not knowing us, just to be praying, take time out to come to the hospital, just to, yeah.
And one day I opened the door, and 10 people came in to clean our house, our new house.
Yeah.
They brought meals, and other people contacted me later and brought gifts. And when I was at the hospital, somebody was there already ahead of me and brought a bag of candy for our grandsons. They connected with me daily and hourly. So I always felt like there was like close friends with me throughout this whole situation. And it was just pretty overwhelming.
When it shows their relationship with God, they're ready because, you know, their walk. You love God, you can love people. You're gonna be willing to make the sacrifice to, you know, help out your brothers and sisters.
We just wanna thank you, Cross Church, for investing in our lives, for encouraging us to grow in Christ. And we are so excited about being involved here and working beside you and helping others to know Christ as well.
Something remarkable happens when a person meets Jesus. As people come around them and help them, they begin to grow. That person begins to change the world around them. As they serve God and as they serve the church, people's lives begin to change. What sometimes seems insignificant can prove to be world-changing. What begins as a seed planted in service to God ends up growing into something that is so significant that it bears fruit all over the world. Over 3,000 people in our church are actively serving other people through the ministries of our church. We call them the Dream Team. These people are changing the world around them. One of the goals of today is to help you rightly recognize what a difference you are making in what you do for this church. Whether it's in your weekly service, your generous giving, or your passionate prayers, you are changing the world. We've all had times where we've served for a time in some ministry of the church, and we've wondered this question, man, is this really making a difference? Maybe there's been a time where you've given money to the church and you've wondered, does this really even matter? Maybe it was because you felt like the amount that you were giving was insignificant in the grand scheme of the church budget. What we want you to understand today is the process for what happens when you give of your tithe and offerings to the church and the world-changing effect that you are actually having. The principle that we are sharing over and over today is this: we are better together. That's not only true for the individuals that make up the body of Cross Church, but it's also true for how our church cooperates with other churches around the country to make a difference around the world. As a Southern Baptist church, we willingly cooperate with over 47,000 other SBC churches through what is called the Cooperative Program. Here's a look at the process for how your giving makes a difference. What begins as a normal part of a worship service ends up affecting not only our local community, but also the ends of the earth. People in our church give generously by giving money to the offering plate or through giving online. These gifts meet the needs locally of our church and ministries to the local community. On top of what we do individually as a church towards missions and church planting, last year we gave $1.3 million through the Cooperative Program. Here's how this process works. We forward this money from our offerings to the Arkansas Baptist Convention, who keeps a portion for ministry within the state. These things include ministries like church planting in rural areas, church assistance, and the crucial ministry of taking care of children in need in our state through the Arkansas Baptist Children's Home. From there, our state commission passes on the remainder of our offering to the national offices of the SBC, who is then responsible for divvying out the remaining money to do missions and ministry around our country and the world. These things include helping students go to seminary, providing representation in Washington, D.C., and a host of other ministries. At the core of the Cooperative Program is a heart for missions. We do this in our own nation through the North American Mission Board and around the world through the International Mission Board. Listen to a brief word from some of our leaders and some of our church planners.
Hello, Cross Church. I'm Kevin Ezell, president of the North America Mission Board. Here at NAM, we help churches plant hundreds of new churches across North America each year. Most of them are in places with very little gospel presence. This is the reason that you need to be encouraged. In places like Montreal, where church plants struggled and died for decades, we are seeing the beginnings of a true church planting movement. In fact, throughout Canada, exciting things are happening. More than half of the Canadian Baptist churches in existence today were started since 2010. And out of all the baptisms reported from our Baptist partners in Canada, 71% came from those new churches. The reports we are getting are truly incredible, and it's happening because your giving allows us to invest in church planters and to send them resources to take the gospel where it's needed most.
My name is Rob Wilton. I serve as the lead pastor of Vintage Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and also the Send Relief Missionary for Send Pittsburgh. Behind me is our Send Relief Center that you guys have helped us launch here in Pittsburgh. We had a team here a few months ago, and they encouraged us like crazy. Thank you so much for the way in which Cross Church is making disciples there in Arkansas, in Pittsburgh, and around the world.
Good morning, Pastor Nick and Cross Church family. I'm Paul Chitwood, president of your International Mission Board, and I want to begin by thanking you for your incredible generous giving through the cooperative program. Your church is a leader among the 46,000 churches of the Southern Baptist Convention in supporting the Great Commission work of Southern Baptists. Cooperative Missions helps us reach this country, but also helps us take the gospel to the nations. And through your International Mission Board missionaries, you're doing just that.
Because of our cooperation to partner with other Southern Baptist churches, we're not just able to support a few missionaries, but literally thousands upon thousands across America and the world. People change the world, and every time you give, you are touching places of the world you may never visit, missionaries who you may never meet, and lost souls in need of the gospel whom you may never see their face this side of heaven. Now that is an amazing thing. When you think about our giving supporting thousands and thousands of missionaries all over the world, it really is a gratifying thing to think that my family has a part in that, and your family has a part in that. But honestly, it can seem so big and so far off that we may think, well, I don't even know who these people are. Let us tell you now the story of Tori. She was a student at C3, then she went through our School of Ministry, and now, in the next few months, she is leaving America to go to the nations as a missionary.
My name is Tori. I was saved and baptized at Cross Church, and as a student in C3, got the opportunity of helping to start an international branch of student ministry. And it was through this ministry that I met my friend Yuka. And as we were reading the Bible together and just realizing that we have to be obedient to tell people about Jesus, he came to faith and it just completely changed my world. He had told me that if he had never come to America, then he would never have known about Jesus because no one in his country knows Jesus. And it just really changed my world because we're supposed to be obedient to share, but there's so many out there who don't know Christ and have no one to tell them. And I was able to, through School of Ministry, continue to expand the international branch of ministry here. And we've since been able to have contact with over 50 different countries. And in January, I will be going overseas with a major missions agency to a Middle Eastern country that is less than 0.1% evangelical. And it all sounds really great, but I feel like it's just being obedient to what we're called to do, both here and abroad. And Cross Church has helped me through that process and helped me do that, and if I can do it, so can you.
At Cross Church, we really do believe that people leave legacies. And what we want you to understand today is that people are our legacy. Like when someone passes away and folks gather for their funeral, they don't sit around talking about how much money that person made. They talk about the difference that person made in the lives of other people. You see, the legacy of our church is people. And whenever we stop and kind of look back at all the hours that we give to service and all the gifts that we give financially and all the prayers that we pray, it's people. It's the measure of our legacy. It's people that have given their lives to Jesus Christ through our church. It's the people who've been discipled by our church. It's the people who've been sent out from our church, right? And so what we want to do now is we want to share with you on video a powerful story of one of our own, Armando Rodriguez. Armando, as a teenager, was saved right here at Cross Church through student camp. He was discipled through the student ministry on this campus here at Cross Church. He then went on and spent a year in our Cross Church School of Ministry. And right now, Armando's in Kansas City, and he's training formally at seminary for his call to ministry. So let us share with you on video right now this powerful story of Armando Rodriguez.
Cross Church was able to change my life ever since I was in high school. So I got connected to Beach Camp. I went to Beach Camp and for all the kind of the complete wrong reasons. And then, you know, ended up meeting Jesus there and it changed my life. And I wouldn't have been able to go if it wasn't for one of the scholarships that was offered to me. And so just thinking about how the church just gives and gives, was able to give me an opportunity to go meet Jesus in Destin, Florida. And that kind of springboarded the life change in my life. I came back home. I got connected to the student ministry at Pinnacle Hills. I did a leadership and training program at Pinnacle Hills that really just kind of opened my eyes and to give me an idea of what a call to ministry would look like. And I was heavily supported and moved to Cross Church School of Ministry. And then even further, when I made the decision to go to Midwestern, that was another step in the process where from really just beginning to end, from high school to Beach Camp and then to School of Ministry and then now to further my education. Every step of that way, the support and just financially and spiritually and the, all the things that encompass, you know, really, really tough life decisions. Cross Church was there. Cross Church was, you know, right by my side, and it wouldn't be possible without, you know, you guys. It wouldn't be possible without the people that give, the people that pour their lives into the ministry to help influence my ministry. Cross Church was able to support me every step of the way.
What an incredible story. That's legacy right there. 149 years ago, seven women and six men decided to start a church. And it is the church that you sit in today. That's legacy. Today we reap what many have sown over 149 years. And today you sit in someone else's faithfulness and in someone else's sacrifice. That's the blessing of an older church, 149-year-old church. We are reaping the prayers and the work of 13 people who wanted to start a church that would reach people like Armando, Eric and Judith Bowen, Brian Miller, and all the others that you've seen on film today, many of you in this room, and they would even reach their pastor. If you got a Bible today, I want you to grab it and turn to Hebrews chapter 10 as you've probably gathered by this point now that we're at the end of the service. Today is not a normal service. And so I'm not going to give a normal sermon, but I do want to just spend a few moments here pouring out some things from this passage. Hebrews chapter 10 is the famous passage about not neglecting to meet together. It's the passage we often point to when we tell people, man, you don't need to be skipping church, right? This was an issue even back in the early church. But we often focus on the last part of the passage and not on the first part of the passage, which is, in all reality, that's the why. So why do you not skip church? Why do you not neglect to meet together? It's because of what we read in verse 24. It says this, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." You realize that's why we're together today? We're together to come weekly and say, hey man, let's stir up one another to love and good works. If I could define what my goal is over the next few moments together, it is just simply to stir the pot. To stir the pot of your own heart and your soul and the soul of this church that we may be the kind of church that God wants us to be. We really are better together. Do you believe that together today? We really are better together. That's the beauty of the Christian life. That's the beauty of the local church. You see, if I tried to, as an individual Christian, go out in my life and in my influence around the community and say, you know what, I want to make a difference for Jesus, that influence would be pretty limited. I may could bring in my wife and my children, and maybe the influence would expand just a little bit. But when I combine my life and my prayers and my work and my giving and my sacrifice with all of those things from thousands of other people at Pinnacle Hills, at Springdale, at Fayetteville, and even across the line up in Missouri in Neosho, that influence goes from here literally and vastly expands it. What I want to do together in just a few moments is I want to just have a quick family meeting. Is that okay today?
little family meeting. If you're here for the very first time, you're like, man, what did I just walk into today? A family meeting. Well, you get to sit in and listen to our dysfunction, okay? No, not dysfunction at all. Great things that you get to hear today. I am directing the next 10 or 15 minutes towards members of the church. These are those of you who you've walked through the growth track, you have signed the dotted line, you have said, this is where my life is going to be, this is where I call my church home. And as one whom God has placed in the position of leadership in our church, I want to just spend a few moments together talking about how I believe that we can be better together in 2020. In many ways, today is to prepare our hearts for the next few weeks of the end of the year, but in even more than that, it is about preparing our hearts for how God wants to use you in 2020 as a part of this church. You say, well, Nick, how are we better together in 2020? I appreciate you asking. Let me give you three different ways that I believe we can be better together. Number one, we can be better together by every member being involved in the life of the church. Every member involved in the life of the church. That means you're attending, you're serving, you're giving, you're growing. Think about it this way. Involvement, involvement, involvement. If you're not a member here and maybe you've sat there and you've listened to all the testimonies of how God has used this church to touch people this year, maybe you're thinking, man, I want to be a part of something like this, like what everybody else is a part of here in this room. I want to encourage you with this, that your very first step is the growth track. The growth track is a four-week experience that really fast-forwards your involvement and service right here in this body of believers known as Cross Church. Now, I've got great news for you. I bring you good tidings of great joy, okay? Next Sunday, we have what's called a growth track intensive, meaning all four of these experiences are combined into one sitting where you can have all of the growth track experience and put you in a smaller environment with some of our staff. You can ask any question you want to ask, and it is an opportunity for you to join the church right then and there next Sunday. You can look in your worship guide. I believe it's on the back to show you more information there. My goal of today, over the next few moments, is simply to move as many of you from the bleachers and from the sidelines onto the playing field. Does that make sense? Some of you are here today, you're in the bleachers. Some of you just walked in the stadium. That's great. We're glad to have you here at our home turf, okay? Some of you are on the sidelines. Maybe there was a time where you were in the game, but now you're kind of not in the game. My goal is to get you onto the playing field. And here's what I tell you. Doesn't matter if you're 14, 44, or 84. We need you. You are valued in this church. You are loved in this church. And so I want to ask you some questions that you and only you can really answer. Are you involved in the life of this church? Are you actively praying for the church? Are you serving? Are you giving? Are you giving of your time towards the Lord and His work in this church? And just a few moments ago, we sang the words, I will build my life upon the Lord, right? That is the song that we just closed with. As one family in the church, as the Floyd family, here's how we operate our life and our family. We're going to build our life around the local church. We're going to build our life around the life of what God is doing here. You see, Sunday is not just a time when we do the church thing. In other words, church for us is more than just what we do once a week. It's a group of people that we have commissioned together and covenanted together to say, you know what? We're going to be on mission in reaching other people in Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world with this group of people because we really do believe that we are better together. And maybe you're sitting here today, and right now you're wondering, man, why am I here right now? Why am I here? And perhaps I could throw out something that maybe will show you the answer. Maybe God has you here to just ask a simple question of your own heart, your own life, and in the life of your family. What would God do if next year, the year 2020, you just sold out? Just said, man, no matter what the call, I am going to do whatever it takes to be involved in the life of this church. I'm going to be here when they ask me to be here. I'm going to give when they ask me to give. I'm going to serve when they ask me to serve. And I'm going to be a part of the different sermon series. Man, I'm going to be ready to receive what God wants me to receive that day. There's a reason why we do all that we do as a church. And if you just kind of pick and choose as a buffet line from time to time, when it's convenient, you'll never get full. You'll never get the full course meal. Today may seem like a day where we're asking you to do a lot for us, the church. I want to clear up that perspective. Today is a day where I'm asking you to do things for you. I'm asking you, when you sell out to the Lord Jesus, you know who it benefits the most? You. It may spill over into the life of your family. It may spill over into the life of the church. But the person that wins the most is you. A few weeks ago, I spoke to our college students on a Wednesday night. They begin their service at 8:30 p.m. That's not good, right? And so I had to wake myself up to just go to the service. And I went there and I spoke to them on this passage from the book of Psalms. Psalm 16:11. It says this: "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." From that passage, I gave them one main thought that they could just write down and make a part of their own life that week. Here's what it was: that the path to life is found in complete abandonment to Jesus. As I told our college students a few weeks ago, and as I tell you sitting here today, if you want life, you want satisfaction, you want joy, and you want pleasure, go all out for the Lord Jesus Christ. When you do that, it always flows into being involved in the life of your church. You can't love Jesus and also not love his bride. They go hand in hand together. And so today it's time to stir up, and it's time to be stirred up, because we really are better together. Let me talk about one of those good works, and that will really bring us to our second way that we're better together. Here's what it is. We're better together when every member is giving generously towards the ministry budget. Every member giving generously towards the ministry budget. Now, if you're new to our church, let me explain what I mean when I say the ministry budget, okay? The ministry budget of the church is the lifeblood of the church. This is where Meredith and I give of our tithes and offerings. Yes, I, as the preacher, tithe to our church, okay? I believe that there is no exception for me in that. We also are on recurring giving. We've been on recurring giving for years. And what that means is this: just like we set up other bills with the cable company or with the, you know, whoever company, what that means is we also have done the same there. We've made it a priority to pay these things. We're going to make it a first and foremost priority to be set up with the church in that way. So that means this: if we're in town or out of town, we're giving. If we're sick, we're still giving. If we forget, we're still giving. And that's the beauty of recurring giving. I want to invite you to join Meredith and I, our family, the Floyd family, in making a priority this next year, your giving and generosity to the church. When you exit today, we're going to give you just a brand new envelope, okay? Just has our little logo on it from today, Better Together. Let me tell you, there's nothing special about this envelope. You know what this is going to do? Anything given in this envelope, you know where it's going? Back to the ministry budget, okay? That really is the lifeblood of our church. And here's what I tell you: there's zero pressure to give today. You realize we already took the offering? So we're not asking, we're not about to take up a second offering. Everybody can just, okay, like, I'm good there. You know, in the New Testament, here's what the Bible says about generosity. It says that each person should decide in his own heart what it is that they're going to give. They should decide. In other words, it's good when the offering plate comes by and you say, yeah, and you throw in a $10 bill. That's good. Praise God for your generosity. But the Bible gives us more of the standpoint of, man, you need to think about it. You need to pray about it. You need to plan for it. Never forget this simple statement about generosity from the Bible. Spontaneous giving is good, but planned giving shows obedience and surrender to God. When you can just drop it in and think, oh, okay, I got that. That's one thing. Praise God for your generosity. On the other side, it is another thing to say, you know what, I am going to plan in my life to be generous to the Lord and to his church. If I were sitting down with you in a discipleship relationship and you were to ask me, Nick, how should I run my family? I'd tell you one way. If you were to say, how should I run my work life? I'd tell you one way. If you were to say, how do I run my financial life? I would begin with this. I'd say, whatever church you're a part of, you need to tithe 10% of your income to that church. It's exactly what I'm teaching my children today. Whether they grow up and live in Arkansas and go to Cross Church, or whether they move to San Diego or somewhere else, okay? You give towards whatever church you are a part of. Now, I'd be remiss here. We have about 3 or 4 weeks left in the year. To not ask you to keep us in mind, keep our church in mind as you consider year-end giving. Let me kind of bring you into the fold of what this does for our church historically. Historically, year-end giving at Cross Church is what makes the rest of the year happen. This helps us during the sparse months of summer when church attendance and therefore giving goes down. It helps us on holidays or on bad weather Sundays where nobody's able to come to church and giving just never recovers. Year in giving makes a difference. And so as you're in the midst of purchasing gifts for family and friendships, I would encourage you, man, consider what the Lord may want you to do for our church. Now, I say all this, and again, I bring you good news. I say all of this in a year where we're doing fantastic financially. Like, praise God for that. We work with a financial consultant who helps churches, and we've done this for years, who helps us throughout the year about different things we need to look at within our budget and just things we need to plan for in giving. Right when I was taking over in the transition, about 6 months ago, he said, now, Nick, he said, most churches who are going through the type of transition that Cross Church is going through, it is not unusual for them to see about a 10% dip in giving for the next year. Well, thank you, sir, for that great, fantastic news that you have given me. But church, can I tell you that we're not a normal church? We're a supernatural God church here. And let me tell you what God has done through you, through the thousands of families who give to this place every single week. We are actually above giving from last year, year to date, which is a big praise God for all that we have gone through. And so today, church, I tell you, that this is not out of panic, out of desperation. Man, I hope the offering went well today. I hope it went well. Oh, gosh. This comes out of passion. What could God do through Cross Church if every member of this church was on board and just giving generously towards the ministry budget? Today when you leave, you'll also receive this card which talks about some of the ways that we've seen God move through your generosity in the year 2018. One of my hopes as you leave this place today, and I've thought about this for a few weeks now, one of my real hopes, and it would make me so joyful, is if you left today as a member of this church who gives regularly, and you thought, man, that was money well spent. Praise the Lord. I feel great about that. Me sitting as one tither in the church, man, I sit here, and this is my second service to go through the whole thing, and I'm thinking, man, praise God, Meredith. Look at what we were a part of. And we're better together. Let me talk about a third thing, and we'll be done. The third way we can be better together in 2020 is just the elimination of our debt. The elimination of our debt. This has been something we've talked about openly with the church for over the last few years. We've talked about even the goal of being debt-free by the end of 2020. And in all reality, we'd like to be debt-free by the end of Sunday right now, okay? Now, is that a reality to be debt-free by the end of 2020? Perhaps, but it would take some major, major, major gifts for that to actually happen by the end of 2020. If you're wondering where I stand on debt with our church, I don't think debt is the devil. I don't think it's wrong for you to have a house payment. I don't think it's wrong that the church has had a house payment. And but kind of like Meredith and I are with our mortgage, and like you are with your mortgage, you just get to the point sometimes you're like, man, I just don't want to pay this anymore. I'd rather spend my money on other things. Can I get a witness, anybody? That's the biggest amen of the day right there. Well, let's pay off our houses, right? No. That's where we're at as a church. We just rather advance the church and reach the world than pay for a building, right? Every year, we spend about $3.2 million in debt service. I want to encourage you, that's not money wasted, okay? This building is being used today. It'll be used tonight. It's been used over the last several years since we moved in here. This is not money wasted. This has housed thousands and thousands and thousands of people who've heard the gospel. So I don't want you to hear that number and think, golly, what are we doing? I want you to hear that and go, we're paying for our house. I'm just ready to be done paying for the house. You know what I'm saying? And let's advance the church and reach the world. On the current trajectory, we would finish up our debt service in about 3 to 4 years. That's fine, and we'll keep plugging away just like we do every single year. But I would rather advance the church now and reach the world now than in 3 to 4 years in a more aggressive manner. I don't know about anybody else. Imagine what could happen. $3.2 million that we have every single year to say, Lord, how do you want to advance the ministries of our own church and help us reach the nations with the gospel? Lord, how do you want us to do that this year? Talk about a church you want to be a part of. Now, again, just to be very clear here, we're never late on a payment. We don't struggle to pay our debt service. We have no fears whatsoever of the bank coming to us, knocking on the door, coming to call the note. Okay, there's zero concern about that. This is just a new pastor who's not in a mode of panic, but who's in agreement with the last pastor and in agreement with about every person in our church. I mean, let's just get this thing done. And this is not too big for the Lord, y'all. And this is not too big for us. That would only happen if we did it together. And so I'd just be very clear with you, if the Lord would put it on your heart to give above your tithes and offerings towards whittling down the debt or the complete elimination of the debt, and praise God for that. And you'll see a return on investment with how God will use your giving to advance this church and to reach the world. Think about it this way. This is just one simple way to look at it. Our future vision is achieved at the speed of our generosity. So what we want to do in the future is achieved by what we're doing today in our giving. Let me just close by asking you a question. And it's one that I want you to ask yourself. And only you and really you know the answer to that question. Here's what the question is. Am I in the game with my local church? Am I in the game? Some of you today, you came in, and if you're honest, you've been in the bleachers. Well, praise God, at least you're in the stadium, right? Maybe some of you would say, Nick, I'm not in the bleachers. I'm probably on the sidelines. There was a time where I was really bought in, really involved, but life happened, tragedy happened, work transition happened. And so whatever reason, I mean, I'm kind of back on the sidelines now. Listen, it's time to get into the game. We need all generations, every single person, married or single, in this church, in the game. If I could describe it like this, I just say it this way. This is your invitation to involvement in the future of this church. Today, all of today is saying, hey, come on. I don't care if you're just entering the stadium. I don't care if you've been in the bleachers. I don't care if you're on the sidelines or if you've been actively playing the game. Come on. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. We can do more together than we ever could apart. My hope is that when we have this service next year, that you're not looking at the screen saying, man, that's a great thing that Cross Church did right there. Look at all those people the church helped reach. I hope next year you're sitting in these same chairs and you're looking at all these testimonies of how God saved people, discipled people, and sent people out, and you have a different perspective, and next year you're going, man, look at what I got to be a part of. I led that guy to Christ. She was in my small group. Man, I gave so that people like Tori could be sent around the world to a place that I'll never go to, as she witnesses to people that I'll never even meet. That's my hope for you. And so are you in the game? If the answer is no, the time is now.